Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Some good stuff there from Peter Bukowski. Once again, you can follow his podcast at Locked On Packers. And of course, he's at Peter_Bukowski. Good stuff. A lot of stats. I think people might be sleeping on this team, not just this week, but on the whole, on the season as well. Though I am kind of curious why the line went from 10.5 down to 9. Where's all that public money coming in on the Patriots? To maybe get an idea what's going on with the Pats, our guy Jumbo Andy Hart had a chance to catch up with Mass Live's Chris Mason down at Gillette this week. Take it away, Andy.
Back for another six rings and football things here at Gillette Stadium. I am joined this week, as we have teased every week, we hope to speak with a Patriots beat writer. This week, the lucky, not so lucky, we'll find out in the next 12 to 15 minutes. Candidate is Chris Mason, masslive.com. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at @ByChrisMason, which I was just told by him. I wasn't always sure what the handle is. But Chris, thanks for joining us. And obviously, topic of the week, the topic of the next few weeks, the day-by-day topic, I guess, will be Patriots quarterback Mac Jones, his injury. You were obviously at Bill Belichick's press conference at Gillette Stadium on Wednesday. I guess just first and foremost, what was your general takeaway from Bill's press conference?
He's taking it day by day.
Well played.
I think he doesn't want to give away too much. He never wants to give away too much. But there were some nuggets to take away from that. I mean, the day-by-day is going to grab all the headlines. But, you know, he said that if he's not back, Brian Hoyer will start this weekend, which is something for him to say, right? And, I mean, he's always performative, but I thought there was some stuff to glean from it.
And my takeaway, and I've been in a lot of those over the years, the one thing that I noted today is it was not confrontational. I think the On to Cincinnati was more confrontational, the famous one back then. This, Bill almost had a coy or playful smirk on his face through most of the day-by-days. The one thing I will ask you, and me being the guy that has to fill 4 hours of radio occasionally, do you think the day-by-day increases the pressure on Mac Jones to return sooner rather than later, regardless of what maybe the expected timetable is?
I mean, I think it does do that a little bit, right? Because day by day and week by week are different things. And even if you go back to Mac's press conference on Monday, when he had a similar, like, day by day, like, one of the last questions was, is there any significance to you saying day by day instead of week by week? And he was like, yeah. He's like, then he, like, was like, oh, but we're just taking it day by day. So I do think there's a different expectation, right? Like, you're trying to get ready to go every day. It's not, I'm just going to be sitting here for the next 4 weeks. And, you know, when 4 weeks roll around, then maybe we'll see. I do think there's an expectation there that, like, yeah, get back as quick as you can.
So one of the other aspects of this, and people are tying it into the history of Bill Belichick, injuries, Rob Gronkowski, players that have some leverage, is are they on the same page? Or Bill, the team, when you hear second opinion, some people jump to the conclusion, oh, you didn't like the first opinion. Are you seeking out an opinion that more agrees with your side as the player? Where do you stand on that? Do you think this is an early test of the relationship to see maybe how all in or how all Patriot Mac Jones is?
I don't really see it that way. I think it's more a 24-year-old kid who is weighing his options, you know, where this is really, like we heard him say on EEI this week, the only other injury he's really ever had is falling off the monkey bars and breaking his arm. So I think it's kind of a new thing. And when you're that age and you hope to have a long career ahead of you, I don't think you want to have surgery if you don't need to, right? Like, that's just kind of common sense, especially if the timelines kind of add up the same either way. So I think that's more him just exploring his options and being like, all right, like, what do I need to do to get back here? And how do the different timelines add up?
I think I'm glad you brought that up because I do think that's important. Not only does he not have a history to fall back on or a trust even to fall back on with the Patriots in terms of injuries. He doesn't have a history or a trust to fall back on anywhere with any doctor, with his own body. You know, he doesn't know, you know, if he were a 15-year veteran who'd had 27 surgeries, you know, four on his knees, three on his shoulder, he probably would say, yeah, cut me however many times you want. I've been through this before. But I think the newness of this, having, you know, said never missed a game due to injury, so this is a new experience, not having an injury, I do think that's a layer here. But transitioning, I think you and I both agree, we're not going to see Mac Jones for a while. So that means we're going to see Brian Hoyer. Brian Hoyer against Aaron Rodgers, one of the more interesting matchups in NFL history, but in a weird way, the divide in pure physical talent between these two guys on Sunday is probably the greatest delta we've ever seen. But what are your expectations from Brian Hoyer? Is there a huge drop-off? Not a huge drop-off? Can he do the job? Can he, for a couple of weeks? Where do you stand on Brian Hoyer?
From Mac, I think there is a significant drop-off there. And just watching them in training camp, watching them, like, even in preseason games, I think, you know, Mac went to a Pro Bowl last year as a rookie, and, you know, you could say injury replacement, whatever. But either way, the fact that he's in that conversation, and then you go to a quarterback who has not won a game as a starter since 2016. Like, that's just the reality of it. So I think what they're going to ask Brian to do is, you know, just try and play mistake-free and keep it respectable. You know, I don't think anyone is expecting the Patriots to go in there and, like, no one's expecting Hoyer to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, keep it respectable. Don't, like, just don't turn it into an embarrassing thing. Like, you know, just do your job, operate within what you can do. Don't try and do too much, and just, like, try and keep it simple.
Yeah, I think it's interesting perspective because you're right. He's 0 for his last 11, and Mac Jones won 10 games as a rookie a year ago. So there's a divide there. There's supposed to be a divide. One was a first-round pick, the 15th overall pick. One is a late-round journeyman backup. But then you look at the more recent, Mac Jones just threw three interceptions. Mac Jones is 1-2. So take care of the football. Don't turn it over. And I guess that leads us to the Mike Lombardi comments this week on GM Shuffle that maybe Mac was in danger of losing his job if he kept throwing interceptions, which I think is borderline ridiculous. But hey, he's got a podcast. We all have podcasts. We want people to listen. You say things sometimes. But for the here and for the now, maybe the bar is not really all that high in terms of what Brian Hoyer has to do to just be, you know, good enough or competitive for they have no other options that are any better right now.
Yeah. I mean, I do think those comments were like borderline crazy where it's like Mac's going to get benched for Hoyer. Like, right. I just don't see that as a realistic thing. And obviously Bailey Zappe is still a ways away. Like when you have Bill this week or today essentially being like, yeah, it's Brian on Sunday. Not, oh, we'll see. We'll see how the practice week goes. It's like, no, that's Bill's way of saying like he's not close. So I do think there's a significant drop off there. And yeah, what was the question again?
Just in terms of the bar being set, like, yeah, there's a drop off in general because Mac Jones, first round franchise quarterback. But what he actually did most recently was not play at an overly high level.
Yeah, but I think that's not really Mac. I think that's the offense as a whole where they've been janky all summer. And it just feels like there's, like, even with the zone running stuff over the summer, it feels like there's somebody that's missing the assignment on every single play. Like, they're not on the same page. And I don't think that's just on the quarterback. And I think some of it is what they're asking Mac to do this year, which is throw up more 50-50 balls, take more chances, push down the field. And I think you do that with Mac because you think he has a higher ceiling than Brian has right now. You know, with Hoyer, it's like, you know, he's not going to go out there and sling it. He's not going to be that, like, 50-yard bomb guy. It's like, all right, just try and dink and dunk, make the safe throws, make the smart throws. And like, I mean, they're what, 10, 11 point underdogs. Like, even if you keep it around that spread, it's respectable in Green Bay. I just don't think they want to get embarrassed this week. And then, you know, try and get right when you have the soft schedule coming up, try and build a little momentum and good things happen there. But yeah, I think those two are just on different planets.
If they are able to, let's just say, keep it respectable this week, cover, as they say in the gambling industry, and then figure things out in the next couple of weeks and without Mac, who are some guys, because we always hear backup quarterback, other players say, well, you know, we all need to do a little bit more now. We need to share the load. Who are some guys that you would say these three or four guys need to step up? Because you're not going to win because of Brian Hoyer. Other guys are going to have to do the job.
I look at the tight ends right away, specifically Hunter Henry, who was a big factor in the offense last year. Like, he was, after Jacoby Myers, he was Mac's go-to guy in the, like, especially in the red zone too. Like, when they got down there, he was going to Hunter all the time, and he really just hasn't done much this year. And you can lump Jonnu Smith into that too, where I think the bar or the expectations for him are lower based on that year, but you want your tight ends playing well if you have a quarterback that's kind of limited, you know? Like, middle of the field guys, hit them, get open, and try and make something happen after the catch. So those are two that I look at right away. And then the offensive line, like, you really – you need them communicating and on the same page, which I think that's been an issue where you've seen – it's like basic stunts that they're not picking up, you know? Like a twist that you see in high school and guys run through. One of the sacks last week, they had seven blockers and five Ravens coming, and there's still a free rusher that hits Mack. I think they like need to just shore up that communication because, you know, they have the talent. They have the guys there. It's just a matter of execution.
That first game out of the gates here for Hoyer, I think we all expect they probably should lose, even though the Packers are not exactly, you know, running through opponents right now. But they played – they're coming off a – was it 14-13 win over Tom Brady and the Bucks? But that Bucks defense has shown that it's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers still trying to find his receivers. Their defense is probably maybe better than it's played at times. Just in terms of this game, this matchup going to Lambeau Field on Sunday, how do you think this plays out? I know you said earlier you think they maybe could keep it within the 10.5 points, whatever it is. But how do you think the game plays out?
I think a lot of it depends on whether or not the guys that you pick to step up actually do. With Stevenson and Harris, you know, I know it's kind of like road game cliche, but if they can go and run the ball and bleed some clock and just give Aaron Rodgers fewer possessions, I think if they keep the score down, then that's like best case scenario for them, right? Just get Stevenson and Harris going 4 or 5 yards a carry, bleed the clock, and just run it down that way. I think that's best case scenario. I don't know if that's the most realistic scenario.
He's Chris Mason, masslive.com. On Twitter, you can get him at @ByChrisMason. Make sure you throw that by in there, BY Chris Mason. I'm Andy Hart. This is the Six Rings Podcast. If you want to follow us, rate us, we would very much be happy that you did that. Download the Odyssey app or get us anywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you normally get your podcasts.